Well, located on the northern banks of the Mississippi River, in the little town of La Crosse, Wisconsin, is a small Franciscan convent known as the Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. Now, this convent was founded in the late 19th century. Now, the Sisters of La Crosse are known for many things in the community. These women volunteer at the local Boys and Girls Club. They serve as chaplains at the Mayo Clinic. They host beautiful worship services with a choir that would make even Whoopi Goldberg proud. The Sisters of Perpetual Adoration are known for many things in La Crosse, but the thing they are best known for is this. For every hour of every day since August 1st, 1878, these women have held a continuous prayer vigil for peace and justice in our world. Now, the prayer vigil works like this. The sisters will sign up to pray in shifts. Some of them will pray from 10 to 11 o'clock at night, others 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. They all pray at different times, but they all pray for the same thing. They pray that God would end conflict in our world. They offer this prayer 168 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. And every night, when these women are done praying, they return to their rooms and they open the local paper. And they read story after story of all the violence that has taken place that day. Day after day, they pray for peace. Night after night, they read about violence. The Sisters of Perpetual Adoration have offered the same prayer for 142 years. But of course, it feels like nothing ever changes. Do you know that feeling? Have you been there before? Those moments when you offer your prayers to God, you pray that God would do something good in your life. You pray that God would do something good in our community. You offer the same prayer again and again and again. Have you ever spent time in perpetual adoration? Because it can be a very lonely place. See, year after year, Hannah went up to the temple in Shiloh to pray. Year after year, the scripture says, Hannah offered the same prayer to God. Hannah asked God to bless her and give her the protection and validation that only a child could provide a woman in her day and time. Year after year, Hannah prayed to God, and month after month, she was always disappointed. Now, Hannah's husband tried to offer her consolation and comfort. He said to her, "Am I not more to you than 10 sons? But of course, his words were of little use. The truth was, this man could fix many things with his money and his resources, but no matter how hard he tried, he could not fix this. All Hannah could do was pray again and again and again, hoping something would change, but of course, it never did. I'm reminded of the story that Annie Dillard, the great American author, tells in her tale, Holy the Firm. It's a story of a worship service she attended one day at a small lakeside chapel. Now, in the middle of the worship service, during the prayers of intercession, the minister there pulled out his old prayer book, and he offered the same prayer he offered every week. Week after week, it was always the same prayer. Month after month, things never changed. The minister began by praying for wisdom for the leaders of the world, for hope and mercy for the grieved and the pained, for freedom for the oppressed, and God's grace to all. Then, in the middle of the prayer, the minister did something unexpected. He paused, and in a moment of frustration, the minister put his face in his hands and he said, "Lord, we bring you these same requests every week." Now, the congregation was shocked. But the minister composed himself and he continued with his prayer. Because of this, Annie Dillard wrote, I like this minister very much. You know, perhaps the most shocking part of Hannah's prayer is not the content of her prayer, what she prays for. Perhaps the most shocking part of Hannah's prayer is the emotion of the prayer. It's how she prays when she's there in the temple. The scripture says Hannah was deeply distraught in prayer, that she wept bitterly. During her prayer in the temple, Hannah did not eat, she did not drink, and said she poured out her soul before God. She was so distraught, in fact, that even Eli, the temple priest, assumed that Hannah had to be drunk. But why else would she make a spectacle of herself in the middle of a church service? Of course, Hannah wasn't drunk. She was just being honest. She was just sharing with God what was on her heart. She was being honest about the pain and the hurt that she felt in that moment. This was a very honest prayer. Sometimes it can be hard for any of us to be that authentic. So I said to a woman once, you know, we've missed having you in worship recently. People have been asking about you. We'd love to have you back on Sunday morning. But the woman just said, you know, it's been hard. She said, ever since Michael and I split up, I just can't bring myself to come back to church. I get ready in the morning on Sunday. She said, I grab my purse and I get dressed and I have my Bible in my hand. But as soon as I get to the door, I begin to cry. And once the tears come, well, they don't stop. I want to go to church, she said, but I just can't bring myself to go and be a blubbering mess. I mean, no one wants to see that. No, she said, no one wants to see me cry. You know, I've heard it said that the original sin of American Christianity is not atheism, superficiality. Truth is, it can be hard for any of us to be that vulnerable, that authentic. It can be hard for any of us to bring our hearts before God with that kind of transparency. No, it's easy to skim across the surface of faith. It's easy to sing the hymns and pray the prayers, but to wear your heart on your sleeve, that is another thing entirely. It takes guts. It takes courage. As Hannah did not hold anything back. She didn't hold back any emotions. She didn't try to hide her tears or her pain or her hurt. Instead, she brought herself, her whole self, before God. She let it all hang out. And I want you to notice, never once in the scripture, never once does God criticize Hannah for this emotion. Never once does he chastise her for her lack of faith. Said the scripture says that the Lord heard Hannah's prayer. And the Lord remembered Hannah. Because the call of the Christian faith has never been a call to perfection in our life. Instead, the call of the Christian faith is simply this. It is a call to radical authenticity. It's an invitation for you and for me to bring ourselves, our whole self, and nothing but ourselves to God, and to trust that no matter what it is we bring, God is big enough to handle it. You don't have to hold anything back. The pastor Mahan Seiler, the former pastor at Pullen Baptist Church in Raleigh, tells a story of counseling a man one Sunday who had just suffered a great loss in his life. Mahan said that this man turned to him and confessed that he wanted to pray, but he just couldn't find the words. The man said, you know, I sit down to pray and I want to talk to God, but the truth is I'm just too angry right now. And well, I sit down and before I know it, I'm yelling. I'm yelling at God. I'm telling God how upset I am. I'm telling God how disappointed, how afraid I am. I'm telling God of all the pain I feel in this moment. I want to pray, he says. Just can't do it. Mahan paused and he thought about the response, but then he said, well, maybe you have been praying. Maybe those tears, maybe that frustration, maybe that's the best prayer of all. Because I don't know what pain or what hurt you bring with you this day. I don't know how your heart is burdened, but I know this. I know that you don't have to hold anything back. I know that when it comes to faith, you can bring yourself, your whole self, and nothing but yourself to God, and God is always big enough to handle it. If you do that, you're going to be okay. As Hannah, she offered her prayer to God. And the Lord heard Hannah's prayer. And he remembered Hannah. Yes, thanks be to God. And amen.